بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First and foremost, we would like to take this opportunity on behalf of the Imams, Muazzin and the Trustees, as well as the Musallis, to invite each and every one of you to this program today. Indeed, it is your concern for deen, concern for yourself and for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has driven you to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to see what is happening, to listen to what is happening in the Ummah, and what can we do for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Much has happened in the recent past, the last few decades, which our esteemed ulama inshallah will explain to us and give us their impressions inshallah and inspirations. First and foremost, I would like to call upon my co-imam, Mawlana Muhammad Vaid, who is also a qari also, to render iqraat of the Qur'an al-Majeed and to start with the barakah of the Qur'an al-Majeed. Mawlana Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم ألا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. يستبشرون بنعمة من الله وفضل وأن الله لا يضيع أجر المؤمنين. الذين استجابوا لله والرسول من بعد ما أصابهم القرح للذين أحسنوا منهم واتقوا أجر عظيم. الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. فانقلبوا بنعمة من الله وفضل لم يمسسهم سوء واتبعوا رضوان الله والله ذو فضل عظيم. إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافوني إن كنتم مؤمنين. صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Time does not permit me to explain what Mawlana had recited. But nevertheless, we should all have this desire, that Allah Ta'ala grant us a death of shahada. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had that desire, and they showed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the trueness of their desire. So Allah Ta'ala has praised them in the Quran and Majid, and Allah says that they are not dead, they are alive. Allahumma rzuqna shahadatan fi sabilik, waj'al mawtana fi baladi rasulik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the great lofty status of martyrdom and death in the land of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Madinah Munawwara. Ameen. Next, I will call up my respected Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Ahmed Parak Sahib, Ustad of Madrasa Talimuddin, to give us Maulana's advices, inshallah, and a special message for the youth.
الحمد لله رب العالمين ناصر المجاهدين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد النبي المجاهد الشهيد وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين ساروا سيره وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاهم اليقين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْ أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من لا يهتم للمسلمين فليس منهم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. I will start off with a question, but only those that are under 25 can answer. The day, 3rd of March, 1924, was a very sad day, or one of the saddest days in the history of this ummah. What happened on this day? No one. Under 35. Gee. The fall of the Uthmani Khilafah. This was officially the date in which the Uthmani Khilafat was abolished. Obviously, at that time, the Uthmani Khilafat was very weak. But still, there was a Khilafat in the world. There was a central point for the Ummah. And this was the date on which officially the Uthmani Khilafat was abolished. Now, just the fact that we didn't know this answer, it should give us the message how disconnected we are from the affairs of the Ummah. And how important it is for us, especially the youth, to acquaint ourselves, educate ourselves, and learn about our glorious past. Because we live in this age, we were born in this age, and we feel that this is the status quo, this is how the Muslims always were. Muslims were always downtrodden. Muslims were always defeated. Muslims were always massacred. We don't realize that we had a very glorious past. So, 3rd of March 1924, and alhamdulillah, 100 years have passed. Generally, revolutions happen after 100 years. So, inshallah, we can hope for a revolution to happen. But what happened after the fall of the Uthmani Khilafat that marked the decline of this ummah? There was the Sykes-Picot agreement. Again, very few of us would know about it. But it was an agreement that was drawn up by a British and a French. And they decided that we are going to split all the Muslim countries. These Muslim countries that we find, Jordan, Palestine, Syria, Egypt, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon. There was no such thing like that. It was one Muslim world under one Khalifa. And therefore the Muslim world had so much of strength. Therefore people, the enemy would be afraid to interfere with the Muslims. Systematically, the enemy split us up into small, small countries to such an extent that now when we see 2 million Palestinians that are suffering in Gaza, then the people that share the same nationality, or not nationality, same blood, same religion, but they don't have the same nationality, those people are even planning with the enemies against their own brothers. Why? Because of nationalism. Because of Sykes-Picot. This is what they did to the Ummah. And then we found the invasion of Muslim lands. Obviously the history is very long. We don't have the time to go into it. But just for us to understand where we are now. 1948 was the formation of the state of Israel, illegitimate state of Israel. It was a 10-month war. 6 Arab countries fight against them. And there was the Nakba, the catastrophe that they call it. 700,000 Palestinians were displaced. 700,000 were pushed out of their land. Israel never existed. They came and took over and they displaced them. 1967, 6-day war. They call it the Naksa, where 300,000 approximately Palestinians were displaced. And from that time, the Palestinian issue is continuing. It is continuing. It's a long history. And then inshallah we will come and discuss where we are today. But this is where it started off from. Then we find December 1979 was the Russian invasion of Afghanistan. 10 years, a superpower of the time, USSR, invaded a Muslim country. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakat of the sacrifice and the blood of the shuhada of Afghanistan, Allah allowed the Russians to be kicked out of Afghanistan 10 years later. And then was a major event in the world. 9-11. 9-11 happened the 11th of September. Doesn't mean the 9th of November. The 11th of September 2001. And because of that, as an excuse of 9-11, we find that approximately 50 countries of the world, 50 countries of the world, including the so-called superpowers, America at the front of it, invaded Afghanistan again. And for 20 years, they massacred and they killed and they bombed. And they made so many Muslim shuhada. But alhamdulillah, after 20 years of struggle, things don't happen overnight. After 20 years of struggle, there was that day that came when they had to put their tail between their legs and they had to leave Afghanistan. And now today that president says we want Bagram base. And what's the response? We're ready for another 20 years of war. We're ready for another 20 years of war. You can come in. You're welcome. So this happened. These invasions of Muslim lands. But now we are finding. Like this, there were many others. Iraq, invasion of Iraq. The massacre and the genocide in Bosnia and all these things. Very, very difficult days the Ummah went through. 100 years of decline of this Ummah. 100 years that the Ummah suffered. And as I said in the beginning, revolutions generally happen after 100 years. Alhamdulillah, we have passed that 100-year mark. And now we are seeing the tables changing. The tables turning. Allah says in the Quran, after Sahaba radiallahu anhum suffered losses in Uhud, Allah said, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These days of victory, we alternate it between people. It doesn't remain forever. That state of illegitimate state won't remain forever. Someone very interestingly said, he said, no country in the world you'll hear them speaking about their downfall. You won't hear them speaking about the end of their country. But this is one state that speaks about the downfall. And then the American president may say, if it wasn't for me, these people will be gone. Why? Because they understand that they don't belong there. They understand that they are an illegitimate state. And their downfall is definitely going to happen. It's going to come. So, the days are changing. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. First, Allah showed us the great day. And that was what they called the fall of Kabul. But actually it was the liberation of Kabul. Who can tell me what date that was? It happened a few years ago, very recently. 15th of August 2021 was a very great day. 50 countries had to run from Afghanistan. Obviously, many of them left before. 50 countries left. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafizahullah mentioned that in the history of Islam, this is one of the greatest victories. That a Muslim nation defeated 50 countries. Powerful superpowers. They made very, very big statements that we'll do this and we'll do that. We'll smoke them out of their caves and what they said. But on the 15th of August, Allah showed us that day. Then, 15th of August 2021. Then the next great day Allah showed us was the 7th of October 2023. I'm sure all of us know what happened on the 7th of October. We waiting for the victory to come. 7th of October was a victory. For the Palestinians, for the people of Gaza, they call it Al-Ubur Al-Azim, the Great Crossing. That's the day, first time they never imagined in their life, they will be able to invade the enemy territory. They will go in. What they did on that day is another story altogether. Amazing feat of the Muqawama of the resistance. 7th of October 2023 was already a great victory. Or we can say it's the beginning of something even greater to happen. That was the second great day Allah showed us. And then after that, 8th of December 2024 was the third great day that Allah has shown us. In 3 years Allah showed us 3 great days. The 8th of December 2024, what was that day? Come on, don't feel shy. MashaAllah. So the liberation of Damascus, and inshallah Mawlana Ahmad Sahib will discuss more in detail the liberation of Damascus and what a great victory it was for the Ummah, where it was something that never people couldn't imagine when it happened. Even 7th of October when it happened, people are asking, is it true? Is this one of the plots of the enemy? That's because we haven't understood the Sunnatullah. We haven't understood the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we feel that this ummah is always going to fall. We haven't realized that now this ummah is rising. These are great days that Allah showed us. And Allah says regarding these days, Allah speaks about these days in Quran. These days are known as Ayyamullah. The great days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, few days ago, when the prisoners were released in Gaza, one person from Gaza, he sent a message, and he is so overjoyed. He says, "Yawmun min ayyamillah." These are one of those days of Allah, that after so long, prisoners have been released. One of the longest, 33 years in prison, Mahmoud Isa, one of the very great people in the Hamas, 33 years in prison, Allah showed him freedom. Allah allowed him to come out from prison, and like there's so many others. So these are very, very great days. Allah says in Quran, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْ أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Allah says that we sent Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to his people, and we had commanded him, أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. That take out your people from darknesses to light. Take out your people from darknesses to light. Zulumat is used in plural, generally in Quran, because the darknesses are of different types. So many different types of darknesses in the world, but there's only one nur of iman. There's one nur of hidayat. Akhrij qawmaka min az-zulumati ila nur. Take them out from all the different darknesses to the nur of iman, to the nur of hidayat. And thereafter, Allah mentions the solution. Allah mentions one of the methods to take out people from darknesses to light. And Allah says, وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them of the great days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reminding a person and reminding ourselves about the great days of Allah is one way to take us out from darkness to light. This is the prescription that Allah gave Musa alayhi salam in Quran. وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. The Mufassireen explain, one meaning of Ayyamullah can mean the favors of Allah. But that's not relating to our discussion. And the other meaning of Ayyamullah is the days of great revolution, defining events in the world that reshape the balance of power and change the geography of the future. This refers to Ayyamullah. And Allah showed us three of these days recently. All of us lived through it, 3 days. But unfortunately, many of us haven't taken lesson from it. And that is the sad part. We are going through all of this. Allah says, ذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them of these great days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pass those days thinking whether it is even true or not. Whether it's a conspiracy or not. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want us to believe that we can rise. They don't want us to believe that the ummah has a future. They don't want us to ponder over these great days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas this is the prescription of Quran. You're looking for hidayat. You want to come out from darkness and come to nur. ذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Continuously remember these great days of Allah. Obviously, when a person ponders over these great days of Allah, he will only see the qudrat of Allah. He will only see the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after so many years of effort and how Allah blesses them with victory. The incident of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and Fir'aun is an amazing incident. Yawmu min ayyamillah, or the day from the days of Allah, and how that entire, the series of events, and how that day came and Allah blessed them with victory. But similarly, respected friends, Allah is showing us these great days. The 7th of October, the whole Afghanistan chapter, and how the enemy had to leave. They left disgraced, but they won't show their disgrace. They can't show it to the world. No, we had this issue and that issue, and they'll make some type of issue. We want them to stand on their own feet. The ceasefire that happened last week was Yawmun min Ayyamillah. It was from the days of Allah. Amazingly, how the enemy had to suffer defeat. We think it's because of Trump's plan that they came out. One person from Gaza yesterday mentioned, he says there may be other reasons, but he says one of the key factors is that Allah has placed such fear in the hearts of their soldiers. Their soldiers are refusing to fight. Their soldiers are refusing to fight. They are so frightened. And no wonder, when they were instructed to retreat, to evacuate, they didn't go and stop at the line that they agreed upon. They went even back. Even more back. You would think normally these people will take extra land. But they went even more back from that line that was demarcated, that they will go to that line. Because they are so frightened. لَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ رَهْبَةً فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah says in Quran that they have more fear for the real believers than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. They are so frightened. So this was also a great day from the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the enemy will give it that kind of impression, as if the Palestinians had to give up all their basic requirements and they just had to accept Trump's plan. And then when he didn't get the prize he wanted, he went to the Muslim land. And then they gave him one big noble, big reception, noble, some peace summit and things like that, just to try and bolster his image to show that I am the man. Because they know how embarrassed they have become. They know how defeated they have become. If he wanted peace, then he should have just stopped supplying for so long. He himself, one day before that, he confessed, or maybe the same day, that I gave so many weapons that I didn't even know I was manufacturing those weapons. So if he wanted to stop the war, he could have stopped it long ago. It's not about stopping the war. It's not about his plan. It's because of the strength of the people of Iman. Because of the steadfastness of the people of Gaza. Because of the bravery of the resistance that Allah blessed the Ummah with this victory. But again, as we said, the enemy won't allow us to ponder over these things. They won't allow us to feel strong and feel confident as an Ummah. They don't want us to believe that we are going to rise and we are rising. Thereafter Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. There are many signs in these days of Allah. Many signs. Now how sad it is, respected friends. We have passed these major events without even realizing that these are major events. Still questioning whether something big has happened, or whether it's a plan of the enemy, or it's a conspiracy. Allah is showing us these events. There is a bright future for the ummah. This 2-year war in Gaza, this 2-year war in Gaza, or genocide in Gaza, is proving this point, that the plots and the plans of the enemy is failing terribly. These Jews that we think they control everything that happens in the world. Nothing can happen in the world without them. But they can't control what's happening right there. Under their nose, the first enemy of theirs they can't control. And we think they control the whole world. Maybe they have influence. You're not denying that. They have influence. But these plans and plots of theirs are failing. And inshallah, these 2 years have proven that there is a bright future for the Ummah. There's a very long history behind the Palestinian struggle. Very long history. And it's something that we need to study. We need to study this whole struggle. This war in Gaza, the 7th of October, has once again brought the whole Palestinian cause to the fore. Most of us didn't even know what was happening. We never knew about these great people. We never knew there was something like the Hamas. We never knew about the leaders of Hamas, myself included. But Allah has created this awakening in the world. And now it's for us again to take lesson from these ayyamullah, from these days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, this will prepare us for the next phase. This will prepare us for the future. If we take lesson, if we ponder, and if we remind ourselves about these things, otherwise we will pass these days like nothing happened. What I must worry what's happening there in Palestine, me, I need to worry about my own life. I just need to enjoy my life. And we don't worry about that. We will come to that point about our disconnect from the affairs of the Ummah. So, the Palestinian struggle has a very long history. Just for us to understand what progress they have made. In 1987 was the first intifada. They were fighting with petrol bombs and rocks. The symbol or the icon of the Palestinian resistance was a man with a stone in his hand facing a tank. That was always. When you think about Palestine, about the intifada, when you think about the resistance, it's a man with a stone and a rock. But now what has happened? The tables have turned. Now it is a person with an RPG blowing up a tank. And hundreds of tanks, if not thousands, have been blown up. They have blown up so many tanks in Gaza that they don't even have enough tanks to continue with their war. So the whole resistance has changed from where to where. From a man with a rock in front of a tank to a man who is blowing up a tank with a rocket that was manufactured in Gaza in the tunnels. And the manufacturing was still continuing while the war was on. This level Allah has blessed us with. This strength Allah has blessed the Ummah with. Against the most sophisticated army of the world. Then in the Intifada, what they would do in order to stop the enemy vehicles from advancing, they would knock nails into a wood and place that piece of wood on the ground so the tires will come and they would be deflated there and they won't continue. And today, they are repurposing the enemy's unloaded unexploded missiles and they are making powerful explosives and they're blowing up their tanks and their vehicles flying up in the air. Flying up in the air. So, in fact, there's a famous Palestinian dish that's called maqlouba. Just to break the topic a little bit, very serious we're becoming. So maqlouba, what's maqlouba? They make that dish and they turn the pot upside down. So they call it maqlouba, upside down. Maqlouba means upside down. There was one operation where that jeep went up in the air and fell down upside down. They said this is the maqlouba of Gaza. Upside down jeep. Now this is where Allah has brought the Ummah today. This is where the resistance is. Therefore one person in Gaza, a few days ago he sent a message and he addressed the Ummah and he said, Jilun Nasri wa Tamkeen. That you are the generation of victory and the generation that is going to establish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going to establish the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. As I said, unfortunately, we're so insensitive to all of these things that we can't even understand that so big things are happening around us. Now, the question is, how do we become part of this phase? There's big things that are happening, that have happened, and even bigger things that inshallah are going to happen. But how do we be part of this phase? The first thing is that tonight all of us have to change our surname. All of us have to change our surname. Tonight I am not what I think I am. Tonight my surname, from tonight, my surname is going to become Ummati. I'm not a Hafiji, I'm not a Parak, I'm not a Lokat, I'm not a Sheikh, whatever else surnames, common surnames here, Mutala. I'm not that. From today I am an Ummati first. Now what does this do to a person? Just this concern changes the whole outlook of a person. So for example, let us take a simple example. We see janaza messages coming all the time. Sometimes we don't even look at the janaza message. But if I see it's a parak, I'll look at it. If I see it's a hafiji, I'll look at maybe my connection. That if you got a little bit concerned for your family still. So a person will look at the janaza. Why? Because it's my family. It's my family. So something that relates to our family, we take it personal. But something that relates to the ummah, we don't take it personal. So firstly, we have to become ummatis. We have to really have the concern for the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, "Man la yahtammu bil muslimin falaysa minhum." That person that doesn't have the concern of the Muslims at large, he's not part of them. Have I had a sleepless night? Or did I miss out a holiday? Did I miss out a meal because I know there are children that are starving in Gaza? If that hasn't happened to me, if nothing has changed in my life, 2 years of war, and no change has happened in my life, I need to ask myself, do I have concern for the ummah? مَنْ لَا يَهْتَمُّ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ That person that is not concerned about the Muslims is not from among them. We met one sheikh in Saudi, sheikh in Syria, who was originally from Saudi, and we asked him, he was part of the revolution, part of the Mujahideen. We asked him for advice. And one of the things that he told us, he said, oh, it wasn't him, this was another person, another very senior person. He said, أَرَّبْتُ بِقَضَايَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Link yourself to the affairs of the ummah. Link yourself, that's the starting point. Link yourself to the affairs of the ummah. Don't be self-centered. Don't worry about your own self. Nowadays it's only about my own self. To such an extent I'm not even worried about my brothers. Not worried about my sisters. My own blood I'm not worried about. I'm not concerned about. We have to become ummah-centric in our vision. We have to change our vision. Our concern has to be for the ummah. When our concern is for the ummah, when we link to the affairs of the ummah, then our dua will be different. Then when you're making dua for Gaza, first of all you will make dua. How many times you don't even make dua? But then when we make dua, that dua will be passionate. That dua will be personal. Why? Because I'm not making dua for someone else. I'm making dua for my own. Then financially we will assist. And I'm addressing the youngsters here. And the question I ask you, youngsters, maybe you're going to school, you got spending money, you got ED during this time, this 2 years, did you even take out 20 rand? Did you even take out 100 rand and say, never mind, I can't contribute so much. Maybe my father is giving. Maybe my grandfather is giving. But from my side, at least one child in Gaza will get food. One child in Gaza maybe can eat something also. Did I do that? If I haven't done that, then the question I ask myself, am I concerned about the ummah? So when we become ummah-centric in our vision, when we become ummatis, then dua will be different. Then the financial assistance will be there. And like this, in everything that we do in our life, our career choices will be based on what will benefit the ummah most. As a future phase that the ummah is going to go through, I need to understand what the ummah is going to need. And accordingly, I will prepare for that day. I will prepare for that day. Maybe I can also help the ummah in that phase. Maybe my skill will be needed. We met a doctor in Syria. Amazing, just to hear a doctor and what he did in the war. What a doctor could do in the war. And how much of assistance. Even if I'm becoming a doctor, but I have an ummah-centric view. Then it's not I'm becoming a doctor because doctors make a lot of money. Because I'll become very wealthy. It's because I can help the ummah. Allah will bless me with wealth also. But my main vision is, it's ummah centric. I want to help the ummah. Therefore I am doing that. Or whatever else it may be within the limits of Sharia. So the first thing is become an ummati. The second is, respected youngsters especially. Applies to everyone else. We are living purposeless lives. We don't have any purpose in our life. No goal in our life. It's only about enjoying. It's only about making money and enjoying, spending money. How I'm going to make and how I'm going to blast. That's the only thing. Everyone's concern is this. I need to make a lot of money so I can spend a lot of money. We don't have any goal, no higher objective in life. But from a young age, people who did big things in the world, they started off very young. Yahya Sinwar rahimahullah 2 days ago was 1 year of the shahadat of Yahya Sinwar rahimahullah, the mastermind behind Tufan al-Aqsa, behind 7th of October, etc. Alhamdulillah, I gave a detailed lecture on his life, especially for the youth. Very interesting points. But just one point from there, time is running out. Yahya Sinwar rahimahullah, at the age of 18, a person met him, right, when he just started his university. And a person met him, and he said, at that time, now he was in his 60s, when he did the Tufan al-Aqsa, and when he became a shaheed, he said, at the age of 18, when I met him, I found something very different in him. And the thing different in him was, at that time, he was speaking about hammul ummah, the concern for the ummah. He was an ummati from 18. Allah blessed him to do such a big thing, that he made the whole world change. The world has changed. But when it started, not at 60, to do it at 63, it started at 18 or before that maybe. He had the concern for the ummah at that age. He had that vision, and he lived with a purpose, he died with a legacy. The third point, which we find in Palestine, we find in Syria, we find in all these places, those people that Allah blessed them and Allah used them to do big things. And that is, and that Saudi Sheikh I was speaking about, I made a mistake early on, he mentioned this. He said, أَوَّلُ بَابٍ لِتَرْبِيَةِ أَيِّ جِيلٍ هُوَ الرَّبْطُ بِالْقُرْآنِ دَائِمًا. If you want to make the tarbiyat of any generation, if we will want to become that generation that will be part of the next great phase of the ummah, then the tarbiyat for that is الرَّبْطُ بِالْقُرْآنِ. We will have to attach ourselves and connect ourselves to Quran. It happened in Gaza. Hafiz Ismail Haniyeh rahimahullah, the leader of the Hamas, was a Hafiz of Quran himself. When he became the leader, it was his vision that we need Huffaz of the Quran. And his words were, Bil Quran bit ta'keed sanuharriru Filastin. That definitely with the Quran, with the Kalam of Allah, we will liberate Palestine. We will liberate this land with Quran. There's detailed explanation behind it. But the point is linked to Quran. And then we find many of these youngsters, these shuhada, that did amazing things. When they write about them, they say, Ashabul Qurani. He was a youngster of Quran. Youngster of Quran doesn't mean he only read Quran when he was in madrasa. Youngster of Quran means he was all the time with his Quran. Then he didn't just learn Quran. He didn't just become a hafiz of Quran. He understood Quran and he practiced Quran and he became a living Quran. Then they took the inspiration from Quran. So they say, they write about some of these shuhada. Someone in one interview asked some of the mujahideen, this was before this war, after previous wars, that you don't miss your friends, those that were with you. They said, you're talking about us missing them. Taftaqiduhum masahifuhum. Their copies of Quran miss them also. Their copies of Quran misses them. Their mushaf miss them. Imagine what was the attachment to Quran. We have to make a concerted effort to learn Quran, to recite Quran, to understand Quran under the guidance of ulama, and together with that to live Quran. Then inshallah we will see Allah will accept us for some big thing inshallah. Then together with this, respected friends, when we went to Syria also, we found the same thing, that together with physical training and military training, etc., a very, very important part is al-i'dadu shar'i. That in terms of dini training, they had deen in their life. I mentioned it in a few talks, and I said that when we hopeful that the day we are hayya alal jihad, we must say labbaik. And inshallah, may Allah allow it to happen. When that hayya alal jihad call is there, we can say labbaik. But 5 times a day, hayya ala salah, we're not saying labbaik. If we can't say labbaik to hayya ala salah 5 times a day, then Allah only knows whether we'll be able to say labbaik to hayya ala jihad. This is where we start off, respected friends, respected youngsters, bringing deen in our life. Hamas, what they did in the world, do we even know what Hamas stands for? Hamas actually doesn't, it's not H-A-M-A-S. It is Ha, Mim, Alif, Sin. It's an Arabic word. What does Hamas stand for? Anyone? I'm sure some know it, but anyway. Harakatul Muqawamatil Islamiyah. It is the Islamic resistance movement. It's not a resistance movement, it's an Islamic resistance movement. There's a very big difference. There was specific mention of Islamic. Because deen is part of the resistance. They didn't fight for land only. They fought for the sake of Allah. And therefore we're seeing their achievements. It was because deen was part of it. This great detail, again, time has run out, of Shaykh Ahmad Yasin rahimahullah and what he did, the effort he made, etc. They created this very strong deeni feeling among these people. They made them people of deen, people of Quran, and therefore we find this great day that Allah is showing them. So these are few points, just I will recap. One is, we mentioned that big things are happening. We're not even realizing that those big things are happening. Let us take notice of what's happening around us. Study, learn what's happening. Read our history. Find out what's happening from the correct sources. Listen to the right type of programs and lectures. We will get an understanding of what is happening. So we get the right understanding of what is happening and the next phase. And for us to be part of it, become an ummati. Become an ummati and have the concern for the ummah. Then as we said, everything will change in life. Live with a purpose. Have an objective in life. Link ourselves to Quran and then bring deen in our life. And lastly, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the problem in the ummah, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about what will be the root cause of the problem when the ummah will be downtrodden. Lengthy hadith, but just that point, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut." It will be love of this world and hatred for death. And if we look at our lives, this is where we are. Love for this world and hatred for death. We have to change this. We have to become detached from this world. We will use this world, but not love for the world. And we have to start longing for death. Yahya Sinwar rahimahullah mentioned, and I'll conclude on this. He said that the enemy is waiting for that day when they will kill me. And then they will say, this is the picture of victory. And now again on the anniversary of his shahadat, they release new images to show that how we killed him. He says that they will release the picture of my shahadat. And they will say that this is the picture of victory. The war is over and Sinwar is killed. But he says, قَدْ حَفِظْتُ مُنْذُ نُعُومَةِ أَذْفَارِي. Since the time I was a young child, I learned this. The الدَّرْسَ الَّذِي عَلَّمَنَاهُ إِيَّاهُ الشَّيْخ أَحْمَدْ يَاسِينَ. I learned the lesson that Sheikh Ahmad Yasin taught us. Sheikh Ahmad Yasin was that man that inspired them. They linked to ulama, brought about this change. He says that the lesson that we learned, Al-Mawtu fi sabilillahi asma amanina, to give my life in the path of Allah is the epitome of my desires. The goal of my life is to give my life for Allah. That's my goal. If a person is living to give his life for Allah, may Allah bless us with that type of jazbah, to be prepared to give our life for Allah, inshallah. Then our living and our dying would be for Allah. If Allah accepts us for shahadat, then inshallah we will get that great shahadat. And if we don't get accepted, inshallah, we pass the way trying for that shahadat. Allah will grant us the rank of shahadat. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mawlana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.